Yes, he is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes. Amen, amen, amen. We thank the good Lord for all of his mercy, his grace, just the ability to lift up the voice and give him praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody wanted to praise him this morning and was not able. So we who are here should give great thanks and great praise that we are able to lift up our voice, amen, and offer a sacrifice of praise to the Lord, amen, amen. We're in the midst of a great celebration, amen. It's always a good thing to celebrate the Lord in everything. The Bible says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you, amen. We want to be thankful to the Lord. I'm very, very thankful when I look at all that the Lord has brought me through in this year.
Yeah.
And I'm still here. Thank the good Lord.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen. That means we still have a mission on this side to take care of. Amen.
Amen.
God has something more for you to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It is yet to be revealed.
Yes.
Amen. So we just thank him that he allows us to be here and come in and go out.
Oh, yes.
Think about all the things that you have experienced in the past year. We know not everything was pleasant. There were some difficult times. But then look at all the victories that God has given you. Amen. Calculate all the victories that he had given you all throughout this whole year. Calculate the times you were sick and didn't know how it would turn out, and you're feeling all right this morning. Amen. And calculate all the other people who you encountered in your life that you offered up a word of prayer for, and then God answered your prayer. Amen. Sometimes things don't go well. We know that there are difficulties that is a part of life. Amen. But all in all, God has been good. And he has blessed, and he has secured us and sustained us for such a time as this. Amen. And it is a wonderful thing to give him praise, take our time to lift up his name. Amen. We know that there are some people here who have been through some considerable difficulties in a lot of different ways, including myself, my wife, and my family. But we thank God all in all through it all. Because we know that when I look back, looking back over my life, as the song said, and I can see all that God has done. You know, I think about all the times I was in a life-threatening situation or some kind of a situation we didn't know how it would turn out, even financial crisis. A lot of different things, but God was able to sustain us.
He's able.
Bring us through.
That's right.
And even when we think about loved ones who are gone on, you know, we just thank God for them and the influence they had in our lives. And we thank God that they are with the Lord, those that were saved, we pray they were. That's a happy thought even as well, because we'll catch up with them soon enough if we keep living. Amen. That's what my dad always used to say. Sometimes you don't understand something right now, just keep on living. See, you'll understand it by and by, like the song says, you know. Some things we don't get overnight like that. But yet God sustains us and keeps us so we can eventually, you understand, you look back and you can say, hey, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I love that song. That's why I say it's one of my very favorite songs. And I just say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Had some good days and some hills to climb. But I just say thank you and keep on moving on. Amen. Amen. Without any further delay, this brings us to the time for our message. And this is kind of something the Lord put in my heart to discuss with the church here today that I think is really a good thing. And this is going to be something to help you close out on 2014 and make your mind ready to move into 2015. Amen. And so we want to have you look at an Old Testament text, which is found in the book of Exodus. And that'll be in chapter 12. Hopefully you have a copy of our message. If you don't, we may have a few copies available. And also would like you to know, just raise your hand if you don't. We'll see if we can provide you with a copy if you don't have one. And otherwise, As just for general information, our messages are posted online at teachingbible.org, or you can get them also through St. Timothy's website, sttmbc.org. And all the message will be posted, even the audio will be connected to it after the morning service. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right now, the printed text is available anywhere on earth or even in space. If you happen to be in space and you have an internet connection, you can zoom in and get our message right offline. Amen. It's for free of charge. We're disseminating the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. God has told us to do that. And in the times we live in, it's not very expensive to do it. So we make sure we do that. That's one bill we keep paid. We want to make sure that we get the word out so it can be heard to the ends of the earth. Because that was the commission that Jesus left with his apostles after he had defeated death, hell, and the grave. We're going to talk about that just a bit today. And he told them to go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. So we are to be a teaching ministry. The church is a teaching body of people on earth. We teach people with an end toward discipling them to persuading them to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to talk about that. But let's look at the book of Exodus in the 12th chapter. And then I'm going to call your attention to a very familiar New Testament text, which will be found in the Epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 32, I think we have for our printed text here. Amen. So the deacons will conduct the reading of the word. We ask that you give your undivided attention to the holy and inerrant word of God. Amen.
Let's stand for reading, please. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the post and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden all at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover.
Yes, it is.
For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men, man, and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token unto the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever.
Amen. 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 That is the holy and inerrant word of the Old Testament. May God bless the hearing and the reading of his blessed word. And now for a few verses from the Epistle to the Romans in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son.
Yes.
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us of all things?
Amen.
Amen.
Reading of the New Testament, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We thank God for his holy and inerrant word. And we'd like to borrow a subject today, centering your life on Jesus Christ. Amen. Centering your life on Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you today, God, for letting us come all the way through this year, Father. We started off about halfway the year here at St. Timothy, somewhere about midway the year, and you brought us through six of the most glorious months that we have had for a long time. And so, Father, we just bless you. We thank you, Father, even for that first half as we approach this time to come together and unite as a body in Christ here in the midst of Wellston. Father, you have added people to our numbers. You have blessed us with the modifications to our facility. You have blessed us with all types of different blessings, Father. We can't even number them all because they have been flowing like a river coming into St. Timothy here, Father. And so we thank you even today for visitors who have come, Lord, and for people who haven't been here for a while, members have returned, Father. We just bless you, God, for all that you have done this year, Father. We thank you that even for a reasonable portion of health and strength, Father, we know that the enemy has attacked us in all kinds of different ways, Lord. But yet you have kept us standing right here as a beacon of light by the power of your grace and by the power of your mercy, oh God. And so, Father, we thank you this morning. We give you praise, Lord, for all that you have already done, Father, and even for the ideas you have planted into our minds, God, of how we can take this message, the gospel of your Son, and spread it to the ends of the world. And, Father, we pray you help us do that. We want to get right busy, God, coming up in this coming year, spreading this word throughout Wellston, throughout the city, throughout the state, throughout the country, throughout the world. Oh God, and we bless you and we give you praise. Thank you for bringing us here today, God, this final Sunday in this year. Oh God, as we egress into a new year, Father, and we ask you to bless us this morning with ears to hear and a heart to understand what the Spirit saith to the churches. And we ask it in the matchless grace of Jesus Christ. And it's in his righteous name that we pray, and the whole church say it together. Amen. This one topic here is the thing that I think should have characterized our life in 2014. And certainly we know it did to some degree, but I don't think we can ever really embrace it as fully as we would like to.
No.
But I want to just have it be the forerunning thought in your mind as you approach a new year. Think about the fact that God loved you just like you were, no matter what you went through, and he brought you through it to be here to this end of the year. And so if we can focus on this one thing, this is really the focal point of what will create the greatest change in our lives of anything that we have ever experienced. Now, I'm going to speak personally just for a minute. I remember when I was not thinking about Christ. I had heard about Christ. I had heard about him. My parents had spoke of him. My grandparents talked about him. Man, I said, okay, well, yeah, that sounds all good. You know, I used to really enjoy just the idea of being around the church. And then when I got my older grandparents died, and I kind of got away from the church for a while when I was growing up. And I didn't have anybody to anchor me to the church. They were kind of the anchor that anchored me to the church. And when they passed, it was a little bit more loose, and I got a little bit older and got to be concerned a little bit more about worldly things. And so I strayed away.
Yes.
And all that time, I think I was running on the prayers of my grandparents that had been praying for me even before they died. And my cousin and I, who are here, I remember one day my grandfather, when he knew it was about time for him to check out, he grabbed us and said, come here, I got something to tell you. We didn't even want to hear it. You know, but he stood there and he told us the gospel of Christ. Christ. And it was like, okay, yeah, you know, we really did want to hear it. We were trying to get back to Army Man and the kind of stuff we were interested in at that time, being around 8 or 9 years old or so. And you're wasting our time with all this. But then later on, I thought about what he was doing. After he had departed the earth, he was actually trying to prepare me, because he knew that the gospel of Christ is the best thing going on top side of planet earth or anywhere in the heavens.
That's right.
Amen. Because it's something we all need. It's that good news that God has put into the midst of all the confusion that goes on here on planet earth.
Yes.
It seems like it never ends. The confusion rolls on and on and on. Uh-huh. Just when you think you might get a week when it might be all right and you might not hear anything about something awful, here it comes, coming around the corner. And sometimes it comes close, sometimes it's distant from you. But there's always some kind of trouble going on around the world. As we looked last week, we talked about Job, well, for our Christmas message, and we thought, well, Job is a strange book to talk about at Christmas time. But it said there that man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. We normally only hear that at funerals. But it's really the truth about topside planet Earth. And so as we close out this year, I just want to prepare this message, because I think it's something that gives us the occasion to move into the coming year with the right type of a productive attitude. Because no matter what the world is doing, this is one thing you can always know, that if you center your life on Jesus Christ, he will give you what you need to persevere, no matter what troubles, no matter what difficulty, no matter what trials you're going through. And this is the great news, is no matter what you've done, even though I went far away from the Lord for a while there in my life, it got pretty tainted. I'm not going to disturb you or trouble you with how bad it was, because you probably already have an idea yourself. But it was awful. My life got really, really awful, and I was hovering above death. I had one foot in the grave and another one on a banana peel. And it was not because of anything that had to do with my health. It was just the reckless way I was living my life in those years. But yet God protected me. And he kept me until time that I came around to the place where I could understand that he had done something for me that I had not really fully embraced. And so that's what we want to talk with you about today. No matter where you are in your life, whatever it is that you've been going through, you can know this, that God has given you mercy. You know, and mercy is when he does not give us what we deserve. I always tell people, I think mercy is a form of grace. Grace is undeserved kindness, when God treats you with favor, even though you don't deserve it. Well, mercy is like that too. Mercy says, okay, you did something, I should smite you, but I'm not going to smite you. I'm just going to let you go a while and protect you, keep you from what you really would have gotten if you had really gotten the whole full end of that deal you were working on. And I'm going to keep you from that, give you time to understand that I'm here for you, to protect you.
Yes.
I'm here to bless you.
Amen.
I'm here to keep you. And I really want to have a relationship with you, although you may have ignored me for a lot of your life. And that's the way it was with me. I was kind of ignoring the goodness of God. And so therefore I was extending that bill of mercy that he was extending to me. And so maybe you haven't been like that. Y'all might say, well, Pastor, that was you with your recklessness. You know, maybe you didn't have any situations like that in your life. That's okay. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Somewhere we missed the mark. And if you broke the law in one point, we looked at last week in James 2:10, says you're guilty of the whole law. And so we need mercy, every one of us.
Yes, we do.
And so God is rich in mercy, as we read in that psalm in the responsive reading. His mercy endures forever. He is an enduring, a merciful God who loves you and extends you mercy. And sometimes it takes us a while to realize that we need mercy. But just as we come to the end of the year, it doesn't make any difference what you've been through. We know you've been through some kind of changes. Even if it was financial, it could have been emotional, it could have been relational, it could have been all kinds of different ways. You know, and we have issues in all these areas, but God has sustained us to be here. Now, one thing God always does, and this is why we come to this text here in Exodus, as we take a quick look at it. You already know about this. We study this around time of year, that usually around what is called Easter Sunday, which we would say the Jews will refer to as Passover Sunday, is this text. But God always wants you to remember where he bought you from.
That's right.
God wants you to remember. And there are certain things you see recurring in the Bible again and again.
Yes.
And God really is refreshing the memory of the Jews here about a situation that started all the way back in the book of Genesis. In Genesis, Adam and Eve, our paternal parents, went and covered themselves after they had sinned. We know about that, with fig leaves.
Yes.
God came to them and slew an animal and covered them with bloody skins, showing them that the wages for sin is death, and that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. People tend to forget that. We think we can make ourselves right with God by some actions that we do or some works that we do. That's what has always been the case with man all the way from Adam. But God showed him right there in the garden, no, that's unacceptable to me. I set the standard, not you.
Yes. Amen.
And so God said the standard is the shedding of blood for the remission of sins, and that what the wages for sin is death. Something had to die. That's what began the sacrificial system, started all the way in the book of Genesis, in the third chapter, Genesis 3:21. It was initiated by God, who acted as a priest to show our first human parents, the father and mother of all living, if you will, that this is what is acceptable to me throughout all of time. And so here, when we get to this text in Exodus chapter 12, we are now looking at the covenant people who have been in bondage in the land of Egypt for a long time now. They've been down there ever since for a good number of years, multiplying in the land of Egypt. Joseph has went in before them, and he was taken in by bondage and captivity. You look at all these people in the Bible, you'll see stories of people who had all kinds of trouble in their life, but yet no matter what they went through, God was with them if they believed in God. That's what I have to say to you this morning here. If you're here today, God is with you.
He
knows the troubles you're going through. He is here to bless you. He has sustained you through the trouble, no matter what trouble you've been through. And he says, I want to have a closer relationship with you so that you can understand who I am and have confidence even in the midst of trouble.
Yes.
And that's kind of the story here as we look at this. Now here it is. God has sent a deliverer into Egypt. His name was Moses, as we all know. And Moses had went before the highest, most powerful man in the world and told him that God sent me to tell you, let my people go. And here this big, powerful man be like if I went up to Obama and says, you know, tell him something, point my finger in his face and say, Mr. Obama, this is what God said. You know, he wants you to let my people go. Say, what? Who are you? You know, they probably arrest you today and throw you in the dungeon. You see? Or you might suddenly become assassinated. Who knows what would happen to you? You know, and these things have happened throughout the year. So here it is, Moses, little 80-year-old man, has run into God on the backside of the desert. He himself was a refugee from the Pharaoh. He had ran out of the land of Egypt about 40 years earlier because he slew an Egyptian. So he was a runaway fugitive, been on the run for 40 years. God confronts him in a burning bush, sends him back, tells him to go back, tell that Pharaoh, let my people go. Was not the same one who was in office when he left 40 years ago. But he said, I've been gone 40 years. I'm doing fine over here. I don't need this kind of trouble, you know. And yet God impressed upon him that if you go, I'll be with you and I'll speak for you and you'll just be a representative of me.
Yes.
And so, of course, we know I'm not trying to tell you that whole story, but I just want you to see, you probably know it anyway. Moses shows up, tells the Pharaoh, God said, let him go. And he said, well, who do you think you are? In his mind, he didn't really actually say that. Well, you got a lot of nerve coming in here. And so basically, Moses showed off the power of God by smiting the land of Egypt with plagues. 10 plagues went down. And when we get to this point here, the last of the 10 plagues is about to come down, which is the striking of the firstborn with death. And so God prepared his people because death is coming on the land of Egypt. I'm going to smite the firstborn of everyone who does not believe. And so the Lord spoke to Moses and his brother Aaron here in the land of Egypt, it says in Exodus 12:1, saying that this month shall be, notice this, the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.
Yes.
You know what? In other words, put my program in front. Forget about what's going on around you. You know, we say January is the beginning of the year, and here we are in December. God says, put me in the middle of your calendar. Start with me first. You know, this is about halfway the year here in this particular time, by the way they counted time, but put me up front.
Yeah.
Let me be first.
Yes.
Center your life on me. start here with me.
Amen.
He says, let this be the first month of the year to you. You notice that? Nobody else might not acknowledge that. But you who say you love me, let me be first. Put me in the center of your life. And you will see the fruit of it. Because here it is. Now God's going to send judgment. But you who put me in the center of your life, guess what? You don't have to worry about it, because I'm going to give you special instructions.
Yeah.
Remember, we had a message back a little bit before, and it was called Be Informed Before Leaving Earth.
Yes.
Bible. God gives you his word. So you have, you know and understand how God operates.
Amen.
You can operate in the spiritual realm, because people who don't trust God, don't believe him, cannot see the kingdom of God. We talked about that. That's why he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you put God in the middle of what you're doing, put him first in what you're doing, he says, I'm going to take care of the rest of the stuff. You don't have to worry about the highest man in the land. You don't have to worry about the police in Ferguson. You don't have to worry about the police in Berkeley. You don't have to worry about any of these kind of things. Put me in the middle of your life and walk and move at my command, as the old song used to say. You know, when you trust God, he's going to lead you and guide you to all truth by his Holy Spirit. His spirit will take up residence in you. So God says, put me in the center is what the essence of this text is. Now notice what he says here. Speak ye to all the congregation of Israel. We would say that's like talk to everybody in the church. Let them know, saying in the 10th month, the 10th day of the month, take unto you every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little, God's trying to cover everybody. Even if your finances are not that great, hook up with your brothers or somebody on the other side of you. It doesn't make a difference. You can still get in on this, even if you have a small household.
That's right.
He wanted to cover it so everybody could be involved.
Everybody.
There's no big eyes or little U's. You don't have to have a lot to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Take what you have, hook up with the church, the body of Christ, and let God instruct you. Let him fill your life and guide your steps. Let his word be in your mind, in your heart, and in your mouth. Like he told Joshua, do not let the word of the book of this law depart from out of your mouth, but meditate in the day and night. You know, get in the word. Let the word cleanse your mind. So many of us, and even myself, I'm going to go ahead and confess, a lot of stuff, your mind can get contaminated with all kinds of stuff, because the world is getting filthier and filthier every day. You know, there's a lot of stuff right now that's common in the world. When I was a little kid, people would have, they would have been aghast to see some of the stuff that we look at and we think nothing of it. You know, because we're being immersed in filth and garbage constantly, every day, everywhere you go, on your computer, on billboards, in the world. There's a lot of social media where people's tainted ideas spread like wildfire all through the land.
That's right.
And so you really have to be careful. You have to have your mind girded up in order to know that I cannot go down the path with everybody else who's thinking that all these things are okay. You know, they're saying stuff is okay. God says it's damnable.
That's right.
And so I need to side with God on everything. See, I want to take God's side. What does God say about this particular thing?
Amen.
And you can fill in the blanks yourself of the kind of stuff you know that's just present and it's prevalent in our culture.
Yes, it is.
And we can fall into it and we can say, we're a little better than them because they're doing all this, the heinous stuff, and I'm only doing this. Uh-huh. That doesn't work.
That's right.
What does God say? What is the standard God set up for you?
That's right.
You know, you need to side with God. That's what we call confession. That means to say the same thing. The word in the Greek for confession is to say the same thing. Say whatever God says.
Yes.
You're not going to know what God says if you don't get in his word.
That's right. Amen.
You need to get in the word, let the word get in you, then you'll know what God said, then you'll know what the standard is. You'll know exactly what you need to do in every situation. God says, if you walk with me, I will lead you and guide you to all truth.
Yes.
So here it is. God wants everybody to get involved, no matter how financially astute they are or otherwise. If you're poor, you can still be involved.
Yes.
Just put God in the center. Let Christ be the center of your life. So he says, take a lamb without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. He says, I don't care which one. You may not have sheep or you may not have goats. Whichever one you have, I'll accept it. But he wants it to be unblemished. In other words, give God your best. Plan on giving God your very best. Let him be in the center of your life. Say, I'm not going to take care of me and give you the rest.
Yes.
I'm going to give you the best and then let you take care of me.
Yes.
God says, I'll do it. He says, you trust me, prove me in these things, as he says in Malachi,
yes,
and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room to receive.
Amen.
You know, try God on that. It's one of the few times God says, put me to the test.
Yes.
Put me first in your life.
Amen.
Let me be the center, and you watch and see, don't I fix the rest.
Yeah.
I bet you somebody here can testify that if you put God in the center, that God will take care of the rest. You know, he can bring you stuff you don't even know how he's going to bless you, but it's coming. It's on its way. All you have to do is trust him. And you never have to fret or worry about how things are going to come down in your life, because God says, if you put me in the center, I will bless you. You will be blessed. Now notice this. He moves on. He says, you shall keep it. Now bring this, he says in back to verse 5, the lamb shall be without a blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Now here's one. They bought it in on basically 4 days before, 10 days of the month, on the 10th of the month. You're going to keep it to the 14th day. Now that was bringing that lamb that was going to be offered into your house.
Amen.
And you bring him in the house. Now he's in the house. The kids love him. He's the pet of the house.
Yep.
And then what's going to happen? On that 14th day, you're going to take him out at twilight and put him to death. The kids are going to go, oh my God, what? Why is he dying? What does he have to die for? See, so this is an object lesson.
Yes.
God wants you to see that the wages for sin is death.
Amen.
And that thing you love so much that you've grown close to now kicks, bleeds, and dies and becomes a sacrifice. And why is he dying? He's dying for your sin. So God is teaching the principle of substitution. Now for me and you, we can look back to the cross. This is what God did already. He sent his son, who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Didn't have to be done every year. It was done once at a moment in time.
That's right.
And so the experience of the Passover for the Jews became the focal point of all their doings. It was the beginning of the year, the very first thing they did to start their year. And in the command, and God commanded that the time of this event be elevated to the central point in the time of their lives, each and every Jew, from the moment of its issuance. In other words, when God issued this decree in the land of Egypt, throughout the remainder of their lives as a memorial before God, and even to all successive generations, they still practice this even today, even though it's completely meaningless after the cross.
Right.
Because Jesus came to fulfill this type and this shadow that was instituted in the land of Egypt, and really even from the Garden of Eden. And it was fulfilled by Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, who was crucified once and for all on the cross of Calvary to eternally memorialize the true essence of what actually produced real and lasting satisfaction to the Father for everyone embracing God's offering of his Son, who is willing, a sacrificial offering of himself. Jesus did this all of his own, rendered perfect and complete. And completion of the void felt within the Godhead. Now, I want to talk about that. This is a kind of a deep statement here. That's why I wrote it out for you. That God had a love for man, and it had been violated in the days of Adam and Eve. And nothing satisfied it until Jesus was crucified.
Mm-hmm.
See, so think about this, and I just want to help you understand that. What does that mean? That means you and I who are parents or even have a significant other, if you love somebody and you set your heart on them and they disappoint you, you feel something.
Yeah.
Deep within yourself, there's loss, there's hurt, and that's there. So even in God, the Bible says God is love.
Yes.
When he made man, he set his affection on man. Man was the pinnacle of his creation. You realize that?
Yes.
He had made everything first so that man could never have to say, I did this, or you know, boast about anything. You didn't do nothing. You weren't here.
Right.
You know, for all these days, I waited till I done everything you need, and then on the last day, I said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. He blessed us with his image, his likeness, which was not a physical image or likeness. We talked about this a little bit before, some of you who were here. It was a spiritual image that man had of God, and then God gave that spiritual image, he breathed it into a body to give it form and substance so it could operate in the world that he had made in the heavens and the earth. And then when Adam sinned, that's like a heartbreak to God. We don't think of it that way. See, and so there was a breach in what God felt toward man that happened right there in the garden, and it continued all the way to his his son was crucified on the cross. That's when it ended. That's when God got back the satisfaction that he lost when Adam sinned. Was when his only son, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, was born into the world, lived without a flaw, without a spot, without a blemish all of his life, 33 and a half years, willfully gave his life as a ransom for as many as believe in him. And he died on the cross, but when his death was the most unique of all, because nobody took his life from him. They tried, they did everything they could to X out his life. They did everything. He could have died from the bacteria, from being beaten and flogged like he was, being spit upon and having crowns of thorns and dirty robes and all kinds of stuff put on him, and they flogged him all night long. You know the story of how he was marched up to Golgotha to be crucified, nailed him to a cross, lifted him up high, shamed him and disgraced him by stripping off his clothes and hanging him naked on a cross. All of that, and it was by his own free will. He could have stopped it at any second. He had all power and authority. He was already God when he was born, when he came into the world. He could have stopped the whole thing, but God didn't want to stop it. God forsook him, the Father, and allowed the man, Jesus Christ, to hang, bleed, and die until he fulfilled everything that had been spoken in the law and the prophets concerning his son. And Jesus willfully did that.
Yes, he did.
That's the beautiful thing about the cross. And God turned his back and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, so he actually felt that forsaking from the Father. And I think that pales by comparison to what God may have felt when Adam sinned. And then after he had done everything necessary to fulfill all the law and the prophets, he commanded his untainted, unblemished spirit to go up to his Father. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. In other words, I'm going to take it out and lay it down at your feet as an offering. And this was the most beautiful thing that ever happened in the history of time. The Son of God gave his untainted soul to the Father. It was cleaner than Adam was before Adam sinned. You see what I'm saying? And God, by that alone, God was satisfied. So the satisfaction that left when Adam sinned returned when Jesus was crucified. And so what should you and I do? That's why Christ is in the middle of the calendar. We mention this all the time. God put him in the middle. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there. The world would like to X him out. They're trying to do it now. Get him out of the calendar because we already don't want to do what he says. We want to say he didn't exist. We want to scandalize his name, say he had bastard children and all this kind of stuff you hear. We want to make movies and mockery about his name. But yet, God put him in time so you can't ignore him. And if you do, it'll be the worst, foolish, most foolish thing you ever did.
Amen.
Because God did it in order to make you right.
Yes.
That's the only way you can be right. Is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and lean not to your own understanding. Do we understand all that? Not necessarily, but God said proclaim it to the ends of the earth that every person should center their life on the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
When you do that, you'll see the most dramatic changes in your life you have ever experienced in the history of time. What I want you to see is God reminds the Jews of this ceremony, this feast, over and over and over throughout the Bible. You'll see a constant reminder of what happened in the land of Egypt throughout the Bible, all the way through. He always reminds them what they forsook the times when other kings were in office was the Passover. And God was upset because the Passover was not honored and remembered and cherished. And so this is something that God's original motivation was to set his love upon man. Can be created by creating us in his own image and giving us dominion over his entire creation. Think about that. Proving his lavish provision. Look what he gave us. We're still getting stuff out of the earth that's unbelievable, amazing creations and things are coming out of the earth. Except man doesn't say thank you God for such a lavish gift. They said, oh, look what I did. Give me a Nobel Peace Prize and blah, blah, blah. We want to take credit for everything and then say there is no God. There's evolution and X God out of it instead of thanking him for what he has already done.
Amen.
Think about that. We are the object and the pinnacle of his affection, and his love was spurned by our original parents under the guise of the devil. Of course, Satan came in and corrupted the mind of Eve and deceived her, and Adam willfully sinned. And God had plans to offer up his own son even before any of that happened. Before the foundation of the world, Christ Jesus was a lamb, the Bible says, slain from the foundation of the world. And so the cross of Calvary, where Jesus would do all the work required that man had destroyed to secure eternal salvation for all who would believe in him, was done in a moment in time, and it's the greatest event in history, whether people like it or not.
Yes, it is.
Because the calendar says it's been 2014, almost 2015 years since it happened. That's the most prestigious position anyone could ever hold. So it would do you good to notice that. You want to talk about Buddha and all of them? They don't have such a privilege. Muhammad, you don't have such a privilege. Confucius, you don't have such a privilege. The world is configured around Jesus. Whether people like it or not, God did that. He did that. Put his son in the center of time so you couldn't overlook him. So it would do you good if you embrace him, because that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be saved. So he wants to have a moving, living relationship with every one of us. And he wants Christ to be in the center of your life. Because Christ is the only one who satisfies the Father. We can't do it by ourselves. It's not by works of righteousness that we do, but by his great mercy that he pours out richly on us in Christ Jesus. It says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. So as we come to another year's end, let us look back into the past year, knowing by experience all that we have learned from each victory and each mistake. Knowing that the victories have more greatly improved our present status and become more a part of our being than all the failures that we produced from our own mistakes and through all these events in the past. And God was with us and used them all to bring us to the exact place where we are now.
Amen.
See that? And to give us hope to continue on into another year, knowing that he is there already to strengthen our every decision toward becoming more like his son, the object of his affection, whom he has provided to cover us to his satisfaction. See, think about that as you move into the new year. God gave his son and you're still here, so he still has plans for you.
Amen.
Now when you look at it, think about these verses here. It says, and Paul realized this, he was a works righteousness person before he got saved. He thought, okay, I've been circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. All those things he says in Philippians chapter 3.
Yeah.
See, he says, I'm circumcised the eighth day. He started talking about his pedigree in Judaism.
Yes.
But he realized that that all is nothing but dung compared to the righteousness that God gives on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he came to that decision on the Damascus Road. His life turned around. God used him to write half of the New Testament.
Yes.
Think about that. And so he says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. See that? God has a purpose for your life. Think about that. I'm excited about that. When I think about where I came from and the stuff that God brought me through, I'm excited to know he has a purpose for my life. He has a plan. He's working it out right now. It's being manifested even through all the trouble, all the trials, the difficulties, the pain, everything you're going through. God is bringing you to the place where he can work out his purpose in your life. He's working all things, even the bad things, together for good to them that love him and who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. God determined this in eternity past. He also did predestinate. In other words, he put you on a path heading in the direction that he was calling you to, and he to be conformed to the image of his son. See, so you and I have to learn to think like Christ. This is a very difficult thing, especially when we're bombarded with all the stuff that goes on in the world and in everyday life. You know, I would love to think like Christ on so many things. I know we are thinking more like him than we used to be. If you've been studying his word, he's adjusting you gradually. You know, psychologists wanted to get into that and X Christ out and say, well, just lay on my sofa and let me talk with you. Then tell me, did your mother drop you on your head when you were? You know, they want to take you through and blame somebody else for the reason why we are whacked. Well, we're whacked because our spirit was whacked when we were born. We came in the world in sin, shaped in iniquity, and that's why we're whacked. It's not my mother's fault. It's not my father's fault.
Amen.
Like the song said, somebody, they nailed that. It's not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I can't go and blame somebody else. No, Dr. Phil, not Oprah, none of y'all. You know,
Amen.
problem is me. And I need to tighten up my relationship with him. And if I do that, he can fix all the problems that I have. I have to take responsibility. If I'm whacked, it's my fault. I need to get it together. Wake up, smell the coffee, we see. You know. Understand that he loves you and he's going to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Confession means I say the same thing God says. There's a lot of evil stuff we okay because the world okays it.
Right.
But we want to look and see what does God say on every subject.
Amen.
And I want to agree with him. Amen. We're never going to get fixed from the stuff that binds us no matter what it is.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that tempts you to go across a line that you know God said no. Mm-hmm. You know, and we keep on knocking on the door that the God closed. Why do we do that? Well, we look at the door he opened and go through that door that he opened and find out what's over there for us. There's going to be a good thing there. And no matter what we have, no matter whether it's habits that we have, and we all do, God can break you free.
Yes, he can.
And he wants to. The reason he won't, he doesn't want to force you. But he wants you to know I can control that thing, whatever it is that you have,
amen,
that you're
amen
struggling with. I can get you free.
Yeah.
But if you just trust in me, let Jesus Christ be the center of your life in the coming year. And this is what we have to do. All of this was about broken fellowship with Adam. Because the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. He used to walk in the glory of God all the time. And when he seen the glory departed, that's when he realized he was naked. And then he became ashamed.
Yes.
See, and so there was some shame in his nakedness.
Uh-huh.
And they had to cover it themselves, as we know. But we have the same kind of situation. We have some things that we're ashamed of. We don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. This is why we instituted the sister to sister and brother to brother, an Iron Man, on the weekends. So we can come in and network among one another and take care of these kind of things that tangle up in our lives, knowing that God has accepted us already. He's accepted you, and he has a way to fix it, whatever it is.
Oh, yes.
And you're not going through anything your brothers and sisters aren't going through.
Amen.
The devil will tell you, you're the only one got that problem. You whacked all by yourself.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with this thing, and he's going to keep it in your mind and make you think you can't ever get victory.
Yes.
But the truth is, everybody is going through changes. And Jesus says, I want to come in the midst of your trouble, whatever it is, and give you victory so you can boast on me. You know, you can boast on me. I'm the one broke those chains off your life and got you walking by faith. You see? And so at this year end, this is what we want to do. Realize what Paul goes on to say here. He says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. That means I set your account right with God.
That's right.
Whom he justified, he also glorified. God has a plan all the way to glorification of each one of us. And he says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against you? God is for you. I want to let you know right now. He is for you. That whole thing with the cross was for you. And he spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. Every time I read that, I have to think about my friend was here last week talking about how his son had been in a hail of gunfire and 44 shells were shot into the car, hit his son about 8 times, and he thought they didn't know what was up. They were in Hawaii, his mom and dad. They flew in from Hawaii to find out what is the fate of my son. And fortunately, his son was spared. Today, his son is up walking around. He's not paralyzed. He had 8 bullet holes in him about a week or two ago. And God spared him. Same thing happened to one of our sons. We had a son in a situation like that. He didn't get hit at all. And I told him, you better know that was God. Because the guy next to him got hit about 8 times. He didn't have a scratch on him. So you have to know. But I just said that to say that God spared my son. God spared my friend's son. He spared me. I was my father's son. He spared me from my own wicked stuff that I was involved in. Some of the people I hung around with didn't get spared. I don't know why. I can't answer that. Why did some of them get consumed and some got spared? I don't know. He spared Abraham's son.
Yes, he did.
So he's been sparing people's sons, and you might be one of the spared sons or daughters sitting right here in this room. That you've been spared from something that could have consumed you. But he gave up his own son. Think about that. Delivered him up for us all. Then Paul asked this question, and I close with this. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If he gave his son, to have a relationship with such as us. That was the greatest thing he had. What else will he hold back from you?
Nothing.
If you put Christ at the center of your life, center your life on Jesus Christ, and you will have a very prosperous 2015. Amen.
Amen.
So I want you to think about that.
Yes.
If you're here today and you have not been saved, or you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, we want to give you that opportunity. And also, if you're here and would like to be a member of St. Timothy MB Church, we have room, as you can see, and we're trying to expand to make more room and make the facility better. You may come at this time. We're accepting a member by letter. Mm-hmm. Candidate for baptism. If you need to be baptized, we are able to accommodate you with that. Jesus said, repent and be baptized and ye shall be saved.
Amen.
So we want to invite you to come at this time. If you don't want to come, just raise your hand right where you are. We don't want to put you on Front Street, Danny. We would like to teach you. That's what we do. We are a teaching ministry.
Yeah.
We want to teach you about the word, answer questions you may have that you've been holding on to for a while and haven't gotten a sufficient answer. And if we don't know the answer, I'm not saying we know everything, but if we don't, we will pray about it, study the word until we get you an answer.
Amen.
From God, or we will pray with you, partner with you in prayer on anything that you desire. Amen. Or that you want to know. Amen. So we'd like to ask you to come at this time, or raise your hand, just to indicate that you would like to be a part of this ministry. Amen. We would be delighted to have you as a member of St. Timothy MB Church. We have one. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We love Mother Williams and we thank God for her. We will get her information. Anybody else, don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. Amen. We'd like to take you in today so you can start off the year with us. Amen. We actually need some help in different areas. We know you probably bring something that you can help us with. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Above him there's no other. Jesus is
the Amen. Don't be ashamed. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the acceptable time. Amen. If you don't have a church home, start off the year right. Let St. Timothy be your church home. I would love to be your pastor. I will give you as much attention as I can. Amen. Make sure you get on the road where you want to be and where God wants you to be. Amen. 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 We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. So we thank God for each and every one of you. And we hope you will plan to be with us for our potluck prayer and praise on this coming Wednesday, which will be New Year's Eve. We have some very excellent cooks. Some of y'all may not know that.
Amen.
I want to boast on some of these cooks in here now.
Amen.
They bring some stuff that just really, really awesome. So if you really want to get a taste of St. Timothy, you can come on Wednesday. Amen. We'll be getting in around 6 o'clock, and we'll stay here till about 8 to be. So we'll be done before the other craziness that goes on for in honor of New Year's. So we want to invite you for that, and then we will resume our regular Bible study on the following week. Amen. And you can even bring something. You might have some delicious things that you might want to share. Amen. We'd be willing to taste them because we're all going to repent after the gluttony is done. Just kidding. But in either case, amen. We thank God. In either case, I am thankful to the Lord. We're going to ask that everyone would stand. Any questions, comments, any visitors that came in after we welcomed our visitors? If you're here and you'd like to acknowledge your presence, we would like to give you an opportunity to do that. If you're here to visit today, you may take a stand if you like, or say a word, or at least let us know you're here, those of you who are visitors.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Sister Williams, okay.
I'd like to thank St. Timothy for recognizing my birthday.
Amen.
But I'd like to also thank my family for coming to church with me.
Amen.
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 My daughter.
Amen.
My great-granddaughter.
Amen.
My son. His wife, my daughter-in-law.
Amen. All right, all right.
My granddaughter.
Amen.
My granddaughter and my son.
Amen. All right. Amen.
We appreciate the visitation.
Amen. We pray you enjoyed your time here with us today. We certainly enjoyed having you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll have some.
I want to thank a couple of people that we see today, the former members. Of course, we've seen Brother Mitchell's come last few months.
Amen.
But also Brother Roussan, who was a former member, and he's come today, and we hadn't seen him for a while, and I know we came and were talking.
Yes.
He said he
yes.
wanted to come and visit today, and I'd like to see him stand and have a few words, Brother Roussan.
All right, amen.
And I also have to tell him I'm asking my son is here.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to ask him to have a few words.
Amen. Amen.
And I'd like to thank God for giving me the time to come here today. Honestly, I've seen everything that I like. It was very joyful for my heart to come here and see you praise. And I can really feel the spirit here.
Amen.
And I always did feel welcome here. I always felt like this was my family. Even though I was gone, I still felt like this was my home.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
So that's all I really have to say.
Amen.
Amen. I come back more and visit you.
Amen.
I don't have to make my mind up one way or the other.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to make my mind up right now.
Amen.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, everybody. I'm Anthony Martin, Raymond Martin's son.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You talk to your pastor. He don't like putting people on Facebook. It's great to see everybody. I see some of my family here. This is the church I grew up in. I'm just happy to be here. I live near Chicago.
Oh,
so
wow.
Came in for a few days. Usually Sunday's the day I travel, but I want to make sure I was here today.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Nice to see everybody. Nice to see the church is growing.
Amen.
It's a great thing to see.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We truly thank you for your presence. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Brother Martin is a good dude. We love him. My sister, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes.
Oh, I'm Barbara Wilson.
Amen.
Amen. And just the love of one of my neighbors,
oh, boy.
Which I guess he just married. So he started me to come here.
Amen.
So I come here once in a while.
Yes.
I don't consider I'm a visitor.
Amen.
I just like to come to church when I feel like it.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's all right. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I like what the gentleman said back there a moment ago, that the pastor's not used to putting people on front. Well, he may have at one time or another. But nevertheless, my name is Ricky French. I've been here before. I don't consider myself a visitor, but yet still, you know, I've been here before. I've brought members of my family here, and I'm praying that this upcoming year I can spend more time here mm-hmm. at St. Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
Basically because my off days are a little funny sometimes. I hope God works the way whereas I can come to church on a routine visit, you know, every Sunday.
Yes.
And sometimes if I can get through, I like to even attend church on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday.
Yeah. And I hope God, in the upcoming year, I'll make a way out of no way that I can spend more time here at St. Timothy and enjoy the atmosphere along with the brothers and sisters here.
Yes.
Pastor Fisher is my first cousin. I love him very much.
All right.
And it's always delightful to be in the house of God.
Amen.
And also to, you know, to live and breathe it, you know. So that's what my aim is in the upcoming year, and I hope I see you all again soon.
Amen. Amen. Well, we give God praise for all that we have heard and
Yes. Everything.
And we would like to just thank God, and we'll stand for a closing word of prayer. Oh, we have Sister Vera. She can go ahead and give us our presentation.
Reverend, yes.